Welcome to The Good Manners Map with me, Monique Chambers, where we take a journey around the world learning about social etiquette and traditions. My guest this week is Kristina Pizani from Lithuania. So I know nothing about Lithuania at all, so this is going to be a bit of an eye-opener for me. What do you think are the immediate differences? You've lived in Malta quite a while, so what are the immediate differences between Lithuania and Malta?
Most outstanding for me, hello.
Hello.
were that Lithuanians are very, very punctual compared to Maltese.
Okay.
Because if Lithuania, you say that I will come at 12 o'clock, it means you'll be quarter to 12 at least. And the rest is already obvious.
Yes.
Also, what is another thing that Maltese people like to talk much more, introduction and small talk, whereas Lithuanians are very direct. They do not like to talk too much.
Okay.
Third thing, it is not two, but three, that Lithuanians, when you meet them, they would not hug. They would extend the hand and shake it. Look straight into the eyes. So there is this huge difference between very open and more reserved personalities.
Okay. So you mentioned there about punctuality, and this is something I struggle with because I'm British and I'm always horribly on time. And when you invite someone for dinner at your home then, you would say a particular time. What time do Lithuanians generally have their evening meal, for example?
Lithuanians are very relaxed, and their routines, evening routines, are like all Northerners, are a little bit earlier.
Okay.
So they start at around 6 and 7.
But you would have a social dinner at that time as well? Or?
Yes, it would be even social dinner, because people, before they come, they like to chat. They like to stand, they like to laugh a little bit, and they wouldn't sit down straight away.
Okay.
So they, if you are invited to come at 6 or 7, let's say 6, you will be expected at around quarter to 6.
Okay.
And 6:15 is already not very polite.
Okay.
Nowadays, it's a little bit more flexible, but half an hour later, people would consider it rude.
Something happened to you, you're not
yes.
coming.
They would be calling, they would be asking, where are you, what happened to you? Because timing is very part of the strict protocol.
I already like Lithuania. So you said about being late is considered rude. Are there other things at a dinner party that would be considered rude, or you know, a lunch, whatever, at a meal that a guest could do?
Quite a few.
Okay.
For example, if you come for dinner or lunch and you're invited, and if you bring gifts mm-hmm. and you don't open, it's considered rude.
Okay, so if the guest doesn't open the gift,
yes,
it's considered rude.
Yes, because okay. when you present the gift, you should open and explain what it is.
Okay, so what would be a typical gift at a dinner party?
Typical gift would be wine, some mm-hmm. sweets, some chocolates. For the woman, it could be a bouquet of flowers.
Okay.
If you give just flowers, not a bouquet of flowers, it's very important to give the odd number, because even number is considered for funerals.
Oh, okay.
And also, you don't bring like chrysanthemums, yellow, mm-hmm. or red carnations. These are also funeral flowers.
So red?
Red carnations.
Okay.
And yellow chrysanthemums.
Okay. That's quite interesting, actually.
Yes.
And so you would be informed of that when you went to a flower shop, or is that something...
That's very common knowledge.
Everybody but if you are a foreigner in Lithuania and just happened to be invited to a colleague's for dinner, you would hope somebody would tell you that kind of thing.
I guess no, but okay. if you went to the flower shop, they would not, if they said that if you were buying flowers, uh-huh. they would never give you 14.
Okay.
They would give you 13, uh-huh. 11, and if you insisted on, they would look very strangely.
So,
what is happening to you?
That's quite an interesting thing. And you said about you'd open the gift as the host. Would you open the wine and serve the wine, or you just open the gift and
no,
you put it aside?
The wine the host would open.
Okay, so you would actually have that as well and you drink that wine at that dinner
yes,
party?
Yes, that's
Excellent.
Considered normal.
Okay.
It's not when you put it aside, it's mm-hmm. unless everybody brings a lot of wines and your wine is not yet in the line or uh-huh. it's already sort of, then
so
it's okay.
But you're not going to drink all the wine, is it?
No. However, mm-hmm. what is nice, if you decide to stay a little bit longer, mm-hmm. Lithuanians don't really have strict rules that you have to leave by this and that time.
Okay.
If you're good friends, you can really extend till quite early morning. Sometimes
From
even
the 6
sleep.
O'clock start.
Yes.
so yes, maybe not take too strong a wine, I would suggest. So we've turned up on time. We've brought the flowers, an odd number of flowers. We've had our gift open, served our wine. What would typically happen? You said you spend a bit of time chatting first, then you sit down. What would be a traditional type of food to be served at a dinner party?
The dinner party, it wouldn't be traditional Lithuanian food because nowadays people also like a little bit lighter food, because the traditional foods are heavy foods. They are very rich with curds, with a lot of potatoes, a lot of meat, boiled, cooked, stewed. But a traditional would be cold dish, which would mean some salad, some cuts, meat cuts, or some smoked fish. Could be soup, also as a main, but close to the front. The second would be roasted meat, roasted fish, with baked potatoes, a lot of always fresh vegetables.
Okay, so is it very seasonal, the diet?
Yes, very, very seasonal. Another thing what Lithuanians like, if it's summer, they like to barbecue.
Really?
Yes, they love it. And if it's winter, they share a lot of, or autumn, they prepare a lot of mushroom dishes, because the end of summer starts the mushrooming season, and it is very traditional to go and pick up different mushrooms from the forest. And most people know a lot of different sorts of them. Every single child knows.
And so is there a mushroom feast or something like that that you have, or is it...
No, it's just like, you know, you get into
the season, you pick your own.
You pick your own and it's, you know, you go shooting. Who shoots more? Sometimes Lithuanians get the same. Who collects more? And people collect buckets and buckets. Then if there are boletus, which is Maltese called porcini, you dry them, you pickle them, you boil them, you fry them, and they are very delicious.
Fantastic. So are there foods that actually mean anything? Because you said about flowers, giving them in an odd number. Are there foods that you would serve somebody that means something as well, or that's not something that's part of the culture?
If it's not a holiday or celebration, then no. But if there is a holiday or some certain celebration, there are particular foods which you serve on those days.
So what types of things are there? Is it something at a christening? Do you do something particular?
On the christening, you always serve, there is one cake, which is called the šakotis, which is traditional Lithuanian cake, and it's served on most of the occasions, during the weddings, during christenings, during big gatherings or summer feast celebrations. So this is one of the must to have.
And is it like a vanilla cake or a plain cake?
No, it is a huge cake.
Okay.
It could be a few meters long.
Okay.
With the empty inside, sort of donut-like, but spiky on the outside. And it takes 4 hours or 5 hours to cook it.
Wow.
And normally you don't eat it all by yourself. You slice in small pieces. It's like a literally tower cake.
Okay.
I would call it spiky tower cake.
Oh, fantastic. Tell me the name of it again.
It's called šakotis.
Šakotis. I'm going to write that down just so I can actually look it up, because I'm intrigued by your hand movements, what that would look like. So are there other, you said you have this at weddings, et cetera, as well? You would have one for your wedding cake, for example?
Definitely. It would be, wedding cake would be separate, but this would be as one of the must items to have on the sweet table.
Okay.
Because in old tradition days, this was the cake.
Okay.
But then nowadays it got replaced by the modern versions. But this one comes with the cake, because it also has a lot of significance. It gives prosperity, abundance, good luck, you know, all these.
Okay. And so for weddings, for example, so you have this sort of new modern twist. Are there things that are traditional for a Lithuanian wedding? So if you were invited to a Lithuanian wedding, what should you wear as a guest? What would you expect to see? What would you expect to eat? That kind of thing. So you're not shocked when you go in and find it's not the same as a Maltese. What tell us about the...
So for
weddings.
Lithuanian weddings, compared to Maltese, they are very, very different.
Okay.
One, they still last sometimes 2 days. This is the traditional version. Sometimes people squeeze it into one, but it's not exactly the same.
Okay.
So I'll start with a more traditional version, because it's also rebirthing and people start using it more often. It was forgotten for a while, but then it's coming back, those traditions. And what's peculiar about it, that when you groom and bride, they meet at the same day, but groom comes to the bride's house, and bride has to have certain games
okay.
that she would come out from the house. So the groom with his team of supporters has to think of solutions, how to get the bride out of the house.
Ah.
For example, some of the bridesmaids, girls,
uh-huh.
they prepare different tasks. And it could be that they know all the qualities of the groom, which are good and bad,
mm-hmm.
and they collect it in the basket like stones. And the groom has to make sure that he has only the good ones.
Ah.
Because if he chooses the wrong ones, so he will not be allowed into the house. Another one nice thing, which is very, very also, it has a lot of crying and everything, is when the groom comes to pick mm-hmm. up the bride, the parents of the groom and bride,
uh-huh.
they talk about their children, how they grew up, about the peculiarities. Then they also share memories together. They introduce to each other, whoever doesn't know whoever. And they drink champagne. Then they go to their cars, and then they go to the church. In early days, they used to walk to the church.
Okay.
And actually, how they used to walk, they used to walk not separately, but all family together.
Ah.
So they meet at the church. Currently, now the bride comes in first, the groom comes second. Wait, sorry. The groom is waiting here uh-huh. Close to the altar, and the bride comes guided by her father, which he hands on. But basically, the traditional the church ceremony is very traditional. But what is very unique and different is when you leave the church. When you leave the church, you don't go to the reception place, but with a big team of
the bridesmaids and bridesmaids,
yes. yes.
Uh-huh.
You travel around the country, mm-hmm. so you take pictures and play a lot of cheerful games. You do a lot of tasks. You drink a lot of drinks, and you have to find a lot of solutions. So, for example, one of the traditions that they go and the groom has to carry the bride over 7 bridges.
Wow!
Which means that there are seven cycles in life,
mm-hmm.
and if you cannot carry through one of them, basically you might end up either divorcing, separating. So the groom has to be really strong.
And you do this after they've had the ceremony and not
after
before?
After they had the ceremony.
You might have made the mistake by then.
This we'll figure out, because the most important person in the whole wedding, actually during the whole evening, is the matchmaker. Because the matchmaker was the one who introduced the groom mm-hmm. to the bride. So he is the one who is organizing everything, and he is responsible that the groom would meet all his requirements.
Wow.
So when they actually carry the bride through the bridges, on one of the bridges, they leave the lock, join their hearts, and throw away the key somewhere in the river, or could be completely different place. Another thing is that when they come back and they drive around the country, take a lot of pictures, do a lot of games, a lot of cheering, a lot of different activities. And when they arrive to the place, the gate is normally locked because the groom's parents are inside and there are fake groom and bride sitting
okay.
in the garden. Yes. So the real groom and bride has to persuade them to leave. Somehow.
Ah.
So they have to be very clever and wise. And that makes the wedding very funny and enjoyable, because you really hear unique jokes. You see the mastery of invention at the moment,
uh-huh.
because you have to think straight there on the moment.
Because you don't know
yes.
what's going to be happening along
yes.
your way. And this whole process just takes 2 days, this whole driving around on the 7 bridges?
This takes around a few hours
okay.
driving around until you arrive to the place where you're going to celebrate.
Ah, you have your reception afterwards.
Yes, you have reception
okay.
afterwards. So nowadays people go to cafes, but early it used to be houses, and the celebration used to take place in
the bride's house.
Okay. Yes, bride's parents used to prepare the place.
Uh-huh.
And once you come in, you do just come in and sit down around the table. What you do, you have to do a lot of tasks. Like, for example...
It's exhausting.
Yes, but it's fun. The bride is given a doll. She has to show how she's going to take care of her baby, to change the pampers, mm-hmm. to wash it and all the stuff. The groom has to also chop the wood to show that he's a real master, one of these things. So they have to be prepared to do all of these tasks. And if they don't, they have a lot of jokes, a lot of mockery. They have to also...
So you were saying earlier about the matchmaker. So is it still works like this? There's a matchmaker and you get engaged from that point? You sort of date and then get engaged?
It's more traditional figure now. Mm. It has all... when it comes to a wedding, it performs all these activities and actually it's a very important role. But no, they get introduced, however.
Does the bride, I'm just wondering, all these activities, is she wearing her... Is it a white dress that they wear?
Yes,
so she wears that throughout the whole...
Yes, throughout the whole evening.
And for a guest, if you were invited as a guest to a wedding, even if you had to do all of the adventures with them, what does a guest wear to a wedding?
Actually, you do all the adventures, most of the guests. So you drive with some 20 cars sometimes. Mm-hmm. Could be from 5 to 20 cars, depending on the wedding. Because what it is, I forgot to tell, when you leave the church, mm-hmm. there's another unique thing. You have a lot of friends and family who are not invited, but they want to give you gifts and they want to give you flowers. So you come out and there are like huge lines, two lines at least standing. One is giving this gift, another is giving flowers.
Okay.
And somebody has to collect all of this and put it in the car or some other place. So this is just after the church. When you then decide to travel to the destination where you're going to celebrate, you are traveling with all your guests, unless they are older people who refuse and they wait already in the reception place.
Okay.
Yes, in the venue. But as a guest, yes, you will come nicely dressed. The girls with the high heels, beautiful dresses. Mm-hmm. It's not common to wear hats.
Okay, but you do have day weddings because of these activities. It's not something you would do in the afternoon. You would get married in the morning, I imagine.
You know, you could in the morning, could be in the afternoon.
Okay.
Depends. Some people, depends how people choose, because some people still prefer to travel really long. And some people like to travel 2-3 hours and that's it, just to keep the tradition going.
Uh-huh. So a traditional dress, is there something you don't wear to a wedding? For, as a guest, not as a bride or a groom. Is there something that is absolutely a no-no?
Wouldn't say so. Everything what looks nice, beautiful, basically.
Would you go in a white? Would you wear white as well to a wedding? Or you wouldn't wear white unless you were the bride?
You could wear white. Mm-hmm. Just you have to look at what the style is. If it's long and if it looks like bride, definitely nobody would
go.
That's
a bit weird anyway.
Yes, that would be, yes. Or even if it's a formal. But if it's just a simple short dress, sometimes you can tell that this is just a white dress with something, then yes.
Okay, so there's nothing that's out of action there.
No.
What would be considered rude at the wedding? If it, for example, potentially not wanting to join in with the games, would you be shunned?
No, actually, you'll be very much welcomed anyway. There is no way to escape the games.
I think it sounds absolutely fun.
yes, because, for example, even when you sit around the table, there is so much cheering and there is so much toasting, there is so much singing, because you also eventually, during the process, have to listen to every single guest's toast. If you have 60 guests, 60 toasts at least you'll hear.
So that's a sort of normal number for a wedding. So it would generally be people you knew properly.
Yes.
So
yes.
And well.
Yes.
So that some of those toasts are going to be quite amusing, I'm sure.
Yes, related to the past, a lot of history.
And does that come with a shot or champagne?
Yes, shot. Normally it would be a shot. And you know, there will be singing in between.
Uh-huh.
So you're also expected to sing.
And weddings are normally at the weekend, or are they Thursday, Friday, so you have the weekend to recover from the 60 shots that happened before with your toasts.
Nowadays, they're on the weekends too.
Do as well, okay. Apart from the toasts, is there another food? We've discussed the cake. Is there other foods that you would serve traditionally at a wedding? Or is that a seasonal choice as well? Or is there you always serve duck because it means this? Or is there anything like that at the wedding banquet?
Currently, it's probably the same as in all of Northern Europe. There is nothing very, very unique.
Okay.
But what is unique, when the groom and bride arrive to the reception place, the parents come out and they have sort of candle.
Okay.
It could be a different design, but normally it signifies the hearth and the home. And the father and mother, from both sides, come out and they also have that candle.
Mm-hmm.
They greet the groom and bride with the bread, with the salt and with the wine or beer. Early it used to be beer because bread signifies that you'll always be able to eat. Uh-huh. Yes, have food. The soul, that if you have something bitter in your life, mm-hmm. that it will pass, and the beer will help it to swallow it faster.
How lovely.
So these are the traditions which still remain there.
Excellent. Okay. And what would I bring you as a gift, as a, if you were getting married? What as a guest would I take as your present?
If you look at nowadays, it would be all the things that young couple would need. Sometimes they make the lists, mm-hmm. or sometimes they make the trips, mm-hmm. or whatever. But in early days, what was very, and I think that's where most of the traditions came, that what you needed. Let's say if the bride comes from the family which has a lot of potatoes, mm-hmm. so they give as a gift something to do with those potatoes, okay. like a lot of pots, a lot of things that you can deal. So the gifts were always and still are related to what you need. Ah, in
so
your life.
Sort of practical after all this yes. tomfoolery at the wedding.
Sorry. Yes.
So I'm intrigued now. The other celebrations, so if you got married a while ago or you're not getting married, are there other things you can celebrate? Do they do it with quite the same vigour? Do you have feast days? Do you have saints days? Anything like that?
Yes, we have what we call Midsummer Day.
Okay.
And normally people in some countries meditate, you know, get together. And actually this is the day for thanking. When you look backwards, Lithuanians were last European pagans, where the paganism was exterminated,
okay.
and the Christianity was introduced. But Lithuanians, in their heart, they still are pagans, even though they have this nice hat of Christianity. You can see that through the traditions.
Very earthy, yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. So during that day, Midsummer Day, we have a lot of traditions when we dance around the fireplaces, mm-hmm. fireplaces, massive ones, close to the important hills, important trees, important power places. So we dance, we jump over those fireplaces. There are ceremonies related to Lithuanian deities, to priestesses. Mm-hmm. A lot of Lithuanians still know very well like gods, which are used okay. as names, as traditions in the family. So these traditions, they're alive on those days.
It's good that they're still keeping them, like I said, even with the,
yes.
the changeover.
Yes, and for example, that Midsummer Day, one of the traditions is at midnight, when children are already asleep, you go and search in the forest for the clove, which has okay. five leaves. Petals.
Okay.
And somebody who finds that clove mm-hmm. or cloves or ferns blossom, uh-huh. another way to say that, you will be very lucky.
Ah, and do these really exist? So it's not something.
No. That's why you are going to be very lucky. Yes, it's a miracle. It's going to happen.
You know, like,
but traditions still exist in Europe. Some people still do.
Still look and still yes. insist that they found
yes.
one.
Yes, they do.
And what other feasts are there? Do you celebrate Easter now as well as being a Christian country?
Yes, and during the Easter we have also a lot of traditions. For example, we roll the eggs. Mm-hmm. We make certain beautiful flower arrangements from the dry flowers,
okay.
which you can get at the church, mm-hmm. or there are some older from old village women who make them, and you get them in some places. But during the Easter time, what you do, you just don't sit down in front of the table. You go to the church, obviously, in the mm-hmm. morning, you pray, and then you spend the morning with the family. But there are a lot of games. So you roll the eggs, and there are competitions, for example, when kids have to beat the eggs.
Okay. Then, so running down a hill.
Yes. Right. Okay. Not running down the hill. You actually make a hill, and you make yourself a pipe. Like, imagine a noodle. You cut through, and it has like this. So
okay.
the egg rolls, uh-huh. and those whose egg is the furthest, uh-huh. they win.
Ah.
But then also, just when we sit down at the table to eat the eggs, we have a competition whose egg is strongest. So you beat the eggs.
Okay.
Yes. You give the egg on one side, and the other has to beat with the other side. So if you got beaten, you lost. It's fun.
And just very quickly, because we're running out of time, this is absolutely fascinating. I really didn't think we'd hear so much from Lithuania, in fact. So Christmas, do you have any crazy games there as well? Should we come to Lithuania for Christmas 2017? What do you do?
Christmas games? No, we don't really have okay. Christmas games, but we have very nice dishes and we celebrate on the 24th.
Okay.
And on that day, you don't eat neither meat nor mm-hmm. baked things. but you have traditional, like, small bread rolled things, which are called kuchukai. They are with the poppy seeds. Okay. And that's the only thing which is allowed, which is made from flour. Everything else is vegetables and fish.
And then do you have... That's your Christmas day, or you have something on the 25th as well, or no?
Would be Christmas Eve.
Okay.
And it would be only on the Christmas Eve. On the Christmas day we do, but it's already less important day. Because what in ancient times, they used to believe that on the 24th is the day where all the spirits come alive. And Lithuanians prepare 12 dishes. And also they don't remove dishes from the table when they finish. They leave it for the spirits to eat. Or, for example, somebody who's deceased in the family. Mm-hmm. So you leave that amount of plates and they eat at night.
So really, sounds like a really fascinating place to go. You've really opened my eyes anyway. So thank you so much. That's Christina Pisani from Lithuania. That was me, Monique Chambers, as well, on the Good Manners Map. Thank you. Thank you for joining us on our journey around the world on the Good Manners Map here on Campus FM with myself, Monique Chambers, and the technicians Carmelo and Samuel. You can hear this programme on Mondays at 1:30 p.m, Thursdays at 9:30 a.m, and again on Fridays at 8 p.m. You can also download as a webcast from MaltaUniversityBroadcasting.com.